This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We shouldn't address that we're in a drive-thru right now.
Yeah, we're in the drive-thru that we always go to when we record this podcast.
At a unnamed coffee company that is not a sponsor.
It's not a sponsor.
Now that we have real sponsors, we can't joke about it anymore.
That's exactly right.
It's true.
Very smart.
It's a serious business.
Speaking of which, that's the name of our podcast network. Exactly right.
Oh, yeah. Is it that because it's a phrase you use?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. It's something my dad says all the time, and I picked it up from him without realizing it until we did My Favorite Murder, and then it was pointed out to me.
It's kind of like absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's the name of a production company, and yep. It's that guy's dad saying it.
Is it? Tim or Eric.
Yeah. One of them.
And that's where the Absolutely Office is where we wrote this last season of Baskets. Yeah. It's all coming together.
It's a small world after all. Oh, now we're going to get sued.
Oh, no. They're the worst of all.
We were just talking about it. Once you get Disney on your ass.
That mouse is vicious. Can I have my purse, please? I'm just pointing randomly.
Mickey the mouse?
It's the purse I gave you that's down. Oh.
So not by purse, box. You don't mean... I call it a jockey box. I'm from Montana.
But can I have my license and registration, please? Thank you. Perfect.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I can get this.
You didn't even order one.
Oh, you're right.
On me. Guys, it's...
We're back from the holidays.
It's the very last day of 2018. Sorry.
Oh, it is. I mean, when they listen to this, maybe we'll be a week into it.
Oh, that's true.
But
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year from a few days ago. But for us right now, it is current.
We don't know the terrible things that have happened in 2019 yet. Don't tell us.
Yeah. Don't ruin it. Right now, everything is fresh.
It's so golden and wonderful.
I can't wait to dance tonight. I love the kind of pressure there is at midnight. And everyone makes out around you while I pet a cat in the corner.
You know what's super weird about that, too, is oftentimes people like you and I, comedians and the like, go to parties with friends. And then at midnight, people are, like, looking around where you're like, I've known you for 11 years. I've seen you spit out your nose.
Right.
Like, I don't... Suddenly, just because it's a certain time of day and a certain day of the year... Doesn't mean suddenly everybody's up for grabs.
Yep. Midnight on New Year's Eve is like the Valentine's Day of unwanted advances.
It is
from
the
people you thought were your business partners, your boss, your cousin.
Suddenly it's the
suddenly
it's the thrift store of romantic attempts. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm nowhere. I'm nothing.
I like it. It is, because it's just...
Thank you.
Some old used sweater of a man that's just gonna lay his woolly lips on you.
Yeah, that's right.
Like an old sweater. And
real sweatery lips.
Yep, not a sponsor.
Thank you, Starbucks.
I just watched Scrooged, and you know how 80s movies just have, wow, that wouldn't fly today.
Yes.
All over them. But
that's
all
they are.
This, I guess in this case, it was the guy. There's like the boss, the young L.A. dirtbag that wants to take over the network.
Right.
That's the boss's son's friend or whatever. And he's bound and gagged with mistletoe above his head. And then the H&R lady just jumps in his lap and starts making out with him. And then by the end, he's into it. And then they're a couple.
And is she in some way unattractive so that is a joke?
Right. It's hilarious because she doesn't have makeup on and she's plain-faced.
Right, yeah.
And, and older. She's like 10 years older
than
him.
Oh, no, no.
But she can't help herself, and she looks over at him. He's bound because Bobcat Goldthwait tied him up.
Sure.
And there's mistletoe happens to be above her head, and she looks at him and she licks her lips like, yum, yum, it's time to go make out with the man. And I'm like, I don't like where this is going.
No. And also, unless there was a part earlier where she was shot up with a drug or got super crazy drunk, I don't think that
She hit her head.
Oh.
Something ran into her during production.
Okay.
So she was loopy because of a concussion.
Well, that helps me a little bit.
Yeah, it does help the story, and I just put that together. I'm like, why is she cross-eyed and being a Daniel Stern drunk right now? It's because she got hit. She got hit so hard that she fell in love.
She got hit so hard that she realized that even without makeup, she was going to make her big move.
Right.
Which I just think is a hard thing to do.
And just having a normal person's face, too.
God
forbid.
Not a
Hollywood view. And the other layer of that is she was, you know, making sure there was no nipples on these all gold dancers that were backup dancing. She was the standards and practices, not H&R.
Got it.
And then all of a sudden, she's this horn dog looking for some love.
The irony. That's irony in storytelling, which everybody enjoys.
Can I
tell you a thing that happened? So recently we talked about Scrooge on, because I think we were talking about what our favorite Christmas movies were.
Mine's up there. Scrooge is up there.
Well, I said I hadn't seen Scrooge. What I realized was, because then all these people were like, how could you not have seen Scrooge?
Yeah.
I tried to watch it one night. I don't like mean Bill Murray. I don't want to watch him. That's not what I like him about him.
Right.
And I think him being mean is like all the worst people I've met in comedy, where they come off like they're being, it's like sarcasm that's so subtle you don't realize you're being made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize your feelings have been destroyed.
Sure.
So it's not, it's like, it's snide and it's shitty, and I don't, he doesn't seem to really be like that. So I don't like watching him act like that. So I fell asleep, probably for escape reasons, almost immediately.
Yeah.
When I woke up, the movie had changed, and it was like 3 a.m. So there was a porn on, because I was watching, I guess.
Cinemax,
yeah, or Showtime or HBO.
Yeah, late at night.
But it was like not soft core. I don't know what happened, but.
Did you roll over on the remote?
I'm trying to make it sound so innocent, like, but I swear I didn't turn it on this way. I woke up and all the colors were the same. So it was like in Scrooged, everything is kind of dark at that TV station, and it's like with purple in the background. And, well, when I woke up, there was a guy fucking a woman vampire, and there was like a purple bed sheet hanging behind them. And I thought it was supposed to be a TV show on his new network.
Right, right. Like, that was supposed to scare people. Yeah.
Part of the plot. And I was like, oh, this is very extreme for, and then I realized, and then there was like a second guy. And then I realized, oh no, there's no way this is in the movie Scrooged. It took me a while to put it together, where I was like, oh, they're not going to put a threesome into Scrooged that is that is overt, like, it's porn. It's not even a suggestion.
A revamped version, like with Star Wars, where they added scenes, and it's just a Bill Murray porno. I wonder if this guy's just going to back into us.
With no reverse lights. He stopped.
I agree with what you're saying. I did have trouble watching Bill Murray be mean and yell and not care about animals and children.
Yeah,
it wasn't... It seems like he would care about all those things.
I feel like everyone can be that way very easily. And Bill Murray's whole deal is he is a tall white man who has it all and still isn't that way. And right. That's why everybody adores him. He's Mr. Chill.
Yeah, and there's a couple moments in it where he gets too angry too fast. But at the end, when he interrupts the live taping of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry if you haven't seen it. It's from 1986. His speech he gives is about, you know, Christmas is about this and that, and he's like tearing up and he's yelling at camera. It's a very good performance, and it makes me cry. I cried while watching it.
Ooh,
you know I cry at the top of a hat.
You love to cry. It's why I love you. You're in touch with your feelings.
I can't control them anymore. I used to be in touch with them, and now they've gotten loose.
Now they're all over the front yard. Yeah, hither and yon.
Who let my feelings out?
who?
Well, we're getting sued again.
I wonder, there are some pauses there. It just seemed like I was saying the word who a bunch of times.
Right.
You can't prove I was letting the dogs out.
No, I think we're going to get sued by the who.
The who?
Yes.
All right, so should we wait to talk about Christmas break when we pick our guest up, or do you want to spill your beans now?
I mean, I have enough Christmas beans to talk about it now.
To feed the whole family?
With Dave in the car.
Okay.
Yes, I have enough. And that's pretty much what we ate. Christmas, it was beans, it was chili, it was offerings of hot dogs that I didn't partake in, and a lot of summer sausage in the middle of winter.
Yeah, that's odd.
And so I think everyone... And I don't want this to go, to get dirty here, but everyone in Montana is just farting. Like, in the wintertime, if you're indoors, if you're in a restaurant, and it's the middle of winter, and everyone's eating sausage all day.
Yeah.
It smells like farts everywhere. I was, like, disgusted. And you don't feel that in the summertime.
Right.
People just farting willy-nilly, like, well, my fire alarm chili, and it's cold out.
Because winter sausage is made with fart-free ingredients.
Oh, they drip Beano on it?
It's all Beano?
My mom used to, when she had broccoli, she would drip Beano on it because broccoli made her gassy.
That's funny.
That's how anti-fart of a household I had.
I wonder if that's what my grandma meant, because she wouldn't eat certain foods and she'd say it repeats on me. And I wonder if she meant farting or burping. I always assumed she meant burping.
Probably both. It repeats on me. It's the classiest. Oops. I guess I have a bit of a repeat coming up. That's the vapors of farts.
Yes. She was very 20s flapper.
That's the best. She was a flapper?
She was.
She wore that style.
She was, for real. Oh, there's another Starbucks drive-thru. Look at that one.
Yeah. Oh, I like when they're kind of like a modern cabin.
Yeah. That's a gorgeous... There's... audience, if you could only see the gorgeous wood siding on this Starbucks.
Yeah, it's just a perfect box made of logs.
It's modern, and yet it's so rustic.
You know, I thought we were going to go this whole episode and not mention them by name, but we did it.
We have to.
We can't. At one point, they're just going to reach out. Say, okay, we get it. Free coffee for life.
We'll break them.
I hope so. I hope so one day. I'm not going to do this podcast uncaffeinated.
No, I can't.
Mm-mm, I can't do anything uncaffeinated.
No, it's too hard.
I'm addicted to so many things. Caffeine is one of them.
It's great. Of all the things that we're addicted to, I'd say caffeine is the better.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
The better choice.
Totally. It's, it has any inflammatory properties for some people's colon issues.
Uh-huh.
What else?
It does it repeat on you?
Yeah.
Is it a little bit repeaty?
I love that phrase. I'm going to use it forever.
Oh, shit. This is the wrong street.
Yeah. That guy's being cavalier with his garbage pickup.
Yeah. He's just walking all around the street.
Yeah. Just left it in the middle of the road with the hazard sign. Do you just assume there's a cat in that plastic bag? Oh, the wind blew it. Every time I see a bag and there's girth to it, I'm like, well, someone disposed of a cat terribly. Yeah.
I always, yes, when my eye goes to, it was this one. I was only one street off. Anything that's wrapped and on the side of the road, that's the first thing I think is, it's a body, it's too small to be a body.
Sure.
It could be a cut-up body.
I can't, and I don't know why, I was traumatized by, when I lived in Texas, there was a lot of, and nothing against the fine people.
But it's a great state.
They don't care about animals as much there, or cats specifically. And
they're
there was
billboards.
Yeah. There was billboards that said, "Don't throw litters of kittens out on the freeway."
No.
Yes, like in Costa Rica, it says, "Don't have sex with the children." It's like, is that necessary?
No.
And then one day, I was driving to a comedy show, and I saw all these cats blowing around. Have I told you this? It's horrifying. That's why I shouldn't even talk about it. Some car, and I drove up, and I was trying to make eye contact with every car in front of me. Who killed these kittens? Oh. It was the worst thing ever. And I had a really good comedy set after that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Because you had it.
Emotionally, my back was against the wall.
Yeah.
I yelled at the whole audience for killing cats. And it wasn't
They were all guilty in your eyes?
Yeah. It's like when there isn't a lot of people in the crowd and you blame the people that did come. No one there was the one that killed these cats.
No, there's no... They all have... They all have alibis where it can be proven. I was sitting here being charged $12 for a drink when this actually took place.
Yeah, there's no way it could have been me. We showed up early.
Yeah.
And then the hotel, when I worked the comedy club there, the hotel had feral cats everywhere.
Oh.
They're just cats with little communities and little cliques. And some of them...
little cliques.
And I am bragging. There can be a feral cat. That's how I found my cat. I can summon a feral cat.
With your eyes?
No, just by going, come here, kitty, kitty, and making noises. And then, like, I trust that guy. I know I have one eye and I'm made of bones.
Chris, you have two beautiful eyes.
No, stop. We all know I have one eye, and that's why this is a podcast and not a TV program.
And it's right in the center of his forehead. Look, there's Dave Holmes.
Dave Holmes. We should have him on.
Yay.
We're in front of his house.
Is he on? Oh, wait, I'll tell him to go. Will you go,
Dave,
to the other side because Steven's on this side?
Yeah, no, I see.
Oh. But I have tinted windows.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Thank you so much.
I imagined.
Is it?
Hi.
It must be Steve.
Steven, nice to meet you. Like
good to
Steve.
See you, friend.
Hi.
Nice for you. Oh, yeah.
Hi.
We were just starting to talk about Christmas.
Yeah.
And how was yours?
It was nice.
Yeah?
It was nice. Yeah, I was in St. Louis.
Oh, right. Did you party? I saw a couple tweets where you were like, who wants to party? Essentially.
I don't remember expressing tweeting. That sentiment at all.
You weren't tweeting about random parties in St. Louis?
Did you say, let's go dancing?
I was looking for something, I was looking for some offbeat St. Louis, because here's the thing. I have two brothers. One brother was traveling the 20th to the 28th. One brother left town with my mom on the 26th. So 26, 27, 28, I was alone in my hometown.
Ooh.
Which I found very exciting.
Yeah.
And I have friends there, but I kind of didn't really feel like calling them.
Right.
And I was actively looking for the bohemian, funky parts of St. Louis, which I kind of found.
Did you really?
I did.
That's great.
What did you end up doing?
The first day, I dropped my mom and my brother off and his family, and they left. And then I was just immediately, I was like, well, I have no ideas. And so I basically just like drank beer alone in various places throughout the city.
Right.
I found a like a European football bar.
Ooh.
In kind of the half urban part of St. Louis. So
okay.
I went there and there was some big Chelsea game because it was Boxing Day. And I went and I watched that. And then at night, I just went looking for gay bars I'd never heard of. And so I went to one in like a neighborhood that I'd never been to. And I walked in and there were like two people there. And then I heard the sound of Whitney Houston coming from a back room. And
yes.
I said, I'm going to follow that noise.
Yes.
So I did. And what it ended up being was like a workshop for, I think, an upcoming ball.
Oh.
So it was part of the St. Louis ball community.
Yes.
And there was a local drag queen named Candy Principal. And she was sort of in the mother role. I don't
Candy
know who these
Principal?
People.
Look
Candy
at those
Principal.
Guys. Your neighborhood has gone downhill, by the way.
I know.
Sorry.
Look at those Russian thugs.
Russian teams. Maybe
and they were getting ready for the ball, like design. Did you get
well,
in on
I think,
that?
I feel when I came in, the woman who was lip syncing to "I Have Nothing" by Whitney Houston was wearing fully a tablecloth and ribbons from Presents.
Yeah.
And so I think that there had just been like a design challenge. because Candy gave some tips.
Oh.
I feel like the shoes were made of like hand towels.
Was the challenge you have to design that with things that are in the room right now?
It must have been.
Yeah,
it must have been. But then there was like, you know, like this kind of butch lesbian went up and lip synced to Luther Vandross. It was all this young, you know, black, trans, and gay community in St. Louis, which I obviously, you know, don't know a ton about.
Right.
So you found what you were looking for.
I found a little bit of what I was looking for, and they were very welcoming. I helped one queen who was a little wobbly on her heels up onto the stage.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun.
So it was almost like St. Louis's version of Paris is Burning?
Yes. St. Louis is Burning.
I would have killed to be there.
Can we pass these Russian thugs again?
Yeah, I kind of want to
get shot this time.
I like that they were not intimidated. They fanned out
they
in the street even more.
They have fully spread out.
Okay,
they might be wanting to play some sort of.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
are they going to stop the car and try to get money out of us?
Are they going to play street soccer? They are dressed for sports.
They definitely are.
They are, and they're all beautiful.
They kind of are that also.
Oh, they're nice. They all just smiled cordially.
Can I talk you through some? Can I take you like through the, you know, the seamier side of North Hollywood?
Yes, let's see it.
Okay. I mean, I can't really, but I can just tell you things about neighbors.
you mean like neighborhood goss?
Yeah, a little.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not this corner, but the next one, the house on the corner closest to us, on the left side. Is this family that is? I mean, it could fully be. The one across from it is definitely a meth lab.
Oh,
this one is just kind of sort of crack housey.
Yeah.
The police got called a lot. They recently, like a month ago, had a party that was like, it was like the Grove at Christmas time. Like every. Every side street and street was like back to back, bumper traffic.
Yeah.
Just tons and tons of people going into that tiny house.
But it was methy types?
I don't know that it was methy types, but it was not on the up and up.
Could you describe
this house
their
here
teeth?
Oh, that is ooh, across with the hippies.
Hi there.
Sorry.
I like that. All right.
Okay, hippies.
This is some like DJ guy whose dad bought him a house, and he's like, I want to live only with girls. Girls are clean. And so it's him and like four 23-year-old girls. Yeah.
How
we
do
went
you
to their,
oh, wow.
to their like housewarming party.
So he's the
yes.
worst dude ever. I want to live
he's
with
probably
girls.
The worst dude ever, yeah.
Because girls clean?
Yeah. And then we never saw him again.
Well, hopefully they cleaned his body up and threw it in the LA River.
Now, sorry, he's a DJ for a living, but then the chickpea thing is a different business?
That might just be a little side hustle.
Yeah, okay. His side hustle is it's a lot like Sweet Pickles,
yeah.
Where they teach children to read.
Yes.
Remember that milk wagon bus?
Of course.
Yes.
My mom's Know How Kids Might Grow. Sweet Pickles?
I love Sweet Pickles.
Oh, God. It exactly ages me to a very specific moment
yes.
in time.
You get that weekly reader guide.
That's right.
Check some shit off. The house next to us, now we're far from it, but yeah. The house next to us is a family of people from Virginia. Well, the couple.
On which
well, actually,
side?
The guy is the
on the left or the right?
House. Maybe not the corner lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one further in. It's a dude from Virginia. I think his wife grew up here. And they have a couple kids, like adult kids, who are sometimes living there. And they have huge, crazy fucking fights that spill out into the street.
Oh, shit.
Physical fights?
Sometimes it gets physical.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fucking fascinating. And they're very friendly, but not necessarily to each other.
Unless you cross them.
And the boy, he's 32.
The boy.
I think still goes out with the sister of Christina Milian.
Oh.
So Christina Milian had a show on E!
Yeah.
And it was all about her crazy family, because she's got one real responsible sister and then one who's real crazy. And I don't remember which one is going out with my neighbor, but they went out and he was on that show and was sort of the villain.
Oh.
He's a handsome young guy. But,
I bet.
But there's a darkness.
You know, it's funny. When I was, for a little while in the aughts, or maybe a little bit later, I guess it would have been later, I kept taking terrible jobs at E.
Yeah.
Because I just could get them. And I was like, I have to just keep making money somehow. Mm-hmm. So I would just take whatever. And so I was constantly writing on, like, panel shows, and Christina Milian would be on them.
Sure.
And
she's a darling.
Sebastian Bach. And, yeah. And I had no idea who she was, because she's exactly too young. Like, that's when I started doing drugs and had no awareness of, like, pop music or anything.
Sure. I'm exactly the person who doesn't know who she is.
Yeah.
Maybe if I saw a photo.
But she's...
That is my world, and I didn't really either. It was a little bit when I started to disengage myself.
Yeah. But she is absolutely gorgeous, and she's a singer, right?
She's a singer and a songwriter. She has... She wrote a big Jennifer Lopez song that you would recognize.
Oh, wow.
She's
and also she's funny.
Is she
on these panels, and I mean, I'm compared to everyone else who often were not. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
We are watching someone cross the road with a... Well, I don't want to get into judgy torso talk.
No.
But that was a... perfect cylindrical gelatinous torso that was fully exposed.
Yes.
Would it maybe
like a bowl full of jelly, literal.
It could be Santa Claus in the immediate aftermath.
That was so jelly
like. Really? He fucking slept in today.
That was
a sports bra though.
I think it was a woman.
Oh, was it a woman?
I think it was.
Can we loop around?
Sure.
That was a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, let's do it. Because it was a hairless torso, wasn't it?
Yeah, I only saw the navel part.
Yeah, I think she's walking in this direction of the sun, and then was like, this feels good.
Uh-huh.
I want it on my belly.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's what happened
to
her.
And then she just began a process of what I will call swanning around.
Just taking her time swanning around the neighborhood.
That was some torso pride.
I've never seen any. God, we can all learn something from that.
Why am I so, I swim with a t-shirt on.
Yeah, I know how you can be.
are going to see him and or her again.
Maybe, Steven, if you can see, if you can take a picture, and we'll do a black bar over the face.
Right.
Just like Cosmo used to.
Unless the picture seems mean later.
And then we won't post.
Then we won't.
But we do...
It is an interesting person, and we do... We've been talking about her.
Did I take the wrong... Should I go down there, right?
Yeah.
I think... Yeah.
And we'll see if this person is going to... Now, there are some sort of... old folksy, convalescent-y kind of homes around here, so that person may...
Oh, could be on the loose?
Yeah, I have a friend named Lucy, who's in a Jazzy, who I see often when I'm on a run.
Jazzy?
Is name Lucy real?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, not that she got loose?
No.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant.
No. I don't think she's in a prison. It's just like a home kind of a thing. This is definitely somebody who can't walk on her own, but she likes to get out. Who doesn't?
We are going to be... Well, there we go. Hello. It's coming up now.
Yes! Steven, perfect.
Well...
Oh, wow. There she is.
It's okay.
Can you do it?
I do...
Just so people know we're not lying.
And I like the Jordans. Actually, I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Got it.
It is what some in the
it was hard.
Reality TV world would call a lot of luck. It is a, we should describe it, it's a full parka,
yeah, right,
hood up,
right,
but open, right, to reveal
a sports bra.
A sports bra.
And a torso.
And what is no doubt a deep navel.
Which sounds like a fashion term. Oh, where we? This is a deep navel. Low cut for spring. So you saw your neighbor on the...
I did. Yep. I watched it a lot. And in fact, like, the production company is one that I had worked with before. And if there had been a second season, I think the family next door would have had a lot more storyline. But alas, we'll never see that.
There was a season... I think it was... What season of... Real World was Puck on?
Well, that would have been season three, San Francisco.
Thank you. Okay. My cousin was a snowboarder for K2, and they make those snowboards on Fashion Island, and he was just there getting snowboards, and he somehow knew one of the girls on the cast of that show, and he ended up going on a date with her, not planning to be on reality TV, but he didn't want to be on the show, so he just was nice and didn't start a fight or act like a ridiculous person. And so they didn't show him.
Right.
They didn't show him because he was just a normal.
So when they did nice, like the Hollywood season, and they all lived in like a soundstage around like Sunset Gower.
Is that where the country guy would go? True story.
No, that was season two.
Oh, darn it.
The first LA.
God, it's all.
You know, I have a podcast with Mike Doty called True Story, where we talk about the real world.
Are you serious?
We only did the first season.
It's
because they're hard to track down because of like music rights issues.
Oh, right.
But we found the first season, which really isn't streaming anywhere, so it's not the world's most useful podcast. But we go through episode by episode.
The first season was, I watched that whole thing because that
of
was
course.
Oh, I
probably
think we all did.
Yeah.
A dozen times.
Yes. Yeah. It was unbelievable and the coolest. Everything about it, I was just like, this is what the future of TV is.
And it was. That's what started it, right?
Yeah.
There was nothing else like that before Real World.
I don't think so, besides Cops. Was Cops before that?
Cops was maybe a year before that.
Yeah. But that idea
and boy,
of like...
That is a... there's always a marathon of it on, and I'm always going to be curious. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's... The more you think about what you're watching when you watch it, the less you can watch Cops.
Yes. It's not funny.
It's not at all funny.
My friend is a sound guy on it. He was a sound guy for World's Dumbest, like in a studio safely, and now he runs around with a bulletproof jacket with a boom.
Jesus
Christ. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, it would...
But anyway, so in Hollywood, Real World Hollywood,
this
was maybe 8 years ago. Their job was taking improv classes at IO West, which is where I was doing shows.
I remember that.
And so they'd go, and there's a bar there, and so they'd all, like, you know, they'd have a rehearsal, and they'd get in a fight, and then they'd go to the bar and whatever, and then they'd be like, let's all go to the house. And, like, our artistic director, who's probably then is my age now, like late 40s, and they'd be like, hey, let's, you know, go back to the house and get high or whatever. And he'd be like, yeah! And then he'd get halfway there and, like, you know, the night air would hit him. And he'd be like, oh, no, I'm not going to be the old stoned guy on TV.
Yes.
That will rerun forever.
Yes, that everyone will suddenly be like, look at how gross this guy is.
I mean,
all it was picking people apart. Do you know I auditioned for the San Francisco season of The Real World?
You would have been... great to watch, and then probably miserable forever after.
Well, it was prime alcoholic Kilgariff era. Mm-hmm. I was really getting my engines revving at the point.
Sure.
So
I know
just,
it was a dark time for you, but I kind of wish I knew you back then.
I was really fun.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about me. You kind of, unless I was absolutely blacked out shit-faced, you couldn't tell I was drunk. And that was the thing my friend Danny Ceballos used to say all the time is, you just could never tell. Like, one time in a bar, I turned to him and I go, will you finish this? I can't see. And it was like my seventh Cosmopolitan. And he was like, it was so weird. You weren't slurring or anything. So it was like, I was so, such an alcoholic.
Good at it, you mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the idea that was something I was even opening myself to, which is like, I fear it more than any, that level of like examination and exposure is... Mm-hmm. horrible, because those people think they can control what people think about them. Like, I'm the country guy, and that means this about me, where it's like, no, it doesn't.
No.
Was that at a time when you were working at MTV?
No, I was in college then.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I also thought about applying, because I remember watching season two, and then the card came up that was like, if you want to be on the next season, you know, send a tape to this number or whatever. And I was like, that is exactly something that I should do.
But you ended up, it was a similar thing with, like, it was a, am I making this up, that it was a contest? That,
it was.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
Okay.
But no, it wasn't like, there was no reality element to it. They didn't follow me home.
Thank God.
Right, right.
Thank
God. No, it was just a kind of an interesting way to get a legitimate job.
Oh, that guy's ass just fell out of his pants.
Oh,
there's a lot of street theater going on today.
I love it.
We have to loop another block to see some.
You might have to. No, sweet, sweet. Back up now. The pants are back up.
Sweet, fleshy torso action.
They will fall back down.
What if that woman runs into that man and they fall in love?
And then they start knocking boots.
They're like, finally, that's a piece of body I was looking for.
the missing piece of body.
Well, here's Superior Tile, which I have never seen.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that. It's like an Atlas.
Is it a genie?
That's amazing.
No, that's just like
that's a
work
beautiful
guy.
Sign.
It's just a guy. It's just a guy or a gal.
It's kind of a.
It's a genie that works at Home Depot.
Yeah. Oh no, that is a genie. That's not.
Is it a genie?
Yeah.
Or is it like an It's Pat guy?
I am a big fan of those 3D sculpture signs, or that's what I'm going to call that.
Yeah.
I agree. It's fun.
Was your Christmases?
I'll start.
Please.
It was great.
Do it.
It was the best. I really like Christmas. You know. I don't have a religious family that gets spiritual, or we always reserve it for Christmas time, but we get into it and it hasn't died down at all. And then when you have nephews and when there's young people, it makes it even better.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I, you know, I feel like I nailed it with the gifts, with my shoe dazzle shoes.
Nice.
And it was the funnest. I had a great time.
That's great.
And it served the purpose of resetting my, you know, stressed out LA brain.
Good.
Yeah.
I texted you and asked how long you were going to be in Missoula, because the brother that left town with my mom on the day after Christmas went to Missoula.
Oh.
Where he has a place. The dad of my nephew Burke.
Notorious P.I.G.
Notorious P.I.G.
And where I still haven't gone. And I, to be honest, it's because I only really eat chicken, but I bet they have chicken there.
I'm sure they have chicken there.
No, that's, you have to save it for Notorious C.H.I.C.J.
Way less of a ring to it.
The sign is as big as the tile, Superior Tile.
But there was a part of me that was like, oh, Chris should hang out with my family. And then I was like, why? Why would Chris Fairbanks want to hang out with my mother? I mean, she's great. My brother's great.
All the time where it's like, but that's a place. And then my family and that.
Yeah.
I know a person. And
all those people
are
there.
Well, I understand. I would think that if I was trapped in Missoula and my own family wasn't there, I probably would want to hang out with your family.
Okay, well, let's keep that in the back of our minds.
In case my family disappears from Missoula. Okay.
Yeah, I've still never been there. I hear it's great. I'm getting loads of pictures.
It's beautiful at certain times of year. It's
very snowy right now.
Yeah, I wish. I'm not anymore.
Well, no, it is right now.
Oh, right now?
I'm getting pictures.
Oh, okay.
I have evidence. It's very snowy.
I went snowboarding and it was dangerously. It looked snowy, but it's just a foot of snow, and underneath were rocks, and it was dangerous. And that is that's an impressive
empty lot
site. Where that man is urban camping. There's a lot of garbage.
I couldn't even see it.
I can't stand urban camping. It's so depressing.
Yeah, that's a rough looking situation there.
Yeah.
Well, are you describing homelessness when you say urban camping? Okay.
I dance around the issues and I call it urban camping.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't tell, you know, that guy, that clearly was, but every once in a while it'll be a really nice tent.
Maybe he got that tent for Christmas. He's just testing it out in the empty lot next to his apartment.
That would be a smart idea for him.
Let's hold on to that.
What else is he going to do?
Right.
Yeah. In the living room?
Out by the pool?
In the woods?
He just got
out by the
couch.
Shared pool?
Yeah. In the Sierra Madres? Like no.
People don't care for it. Karen, how was yours?
Oh, mine was great. Same. Chris and I were talking about how, like, I always drive up to Petaluma, because the drive is so relaxing and so kind of decompressing.
Yeah.
And so when I fly to Petaluma, I find it's too fast of a change, and I'm still in a weird LA mode that doesn't make sense there.
Yeah.
So, and it could be just that things were different in my family and they're just not that way anymore. But my theory is I can like kind of rinse off all the tension and LA feelings and weirdness. And then when you get up there, you can just be, everyone in my family and up there is very chill and like, you know, or at least more relaxed and, you know, kind of about other things. So it's like easier to have fun and immediately just slip in as opposed to like being all weird about emails or whatever.
Yeah. Right. I gradually slipped into, because I had a show right when I got there. I flew on a little jet plane with Reggie Watts. He was doing a show there and I opened for him.
Nice.
And it was really fun. It was like a 6-person jet plane.
Yes.
And I'm bragging.
Do it.
It was fun. And then I had that show and then it tapered off nicely into just being sitting with my dad.
Yeah.
That's great.
Eating summer sausage.
Oh, ooh. So much sausage.
Yum.
Did you eat a lot of summer sausage?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of oysters.
Mm-hmm.
I had toasted ravioli a couple of times, big St. Louis delicacy.
Those are good.
They're so fucking good.
I don't know much about, can you describe, is it what I think
ravioli,
it is?
Ravioli, breaded, deep fried.
Okay.
Served up to you.
I have had that.
Real good. And it's like a local delicacy that has not had the success of a Philly cheesesteak. It has stayed mostly local.
They have them in Chicago.
Oh yeah?
Because I think Chicago loves all appetizers and fried food.
Sure.
I just noticed that when I was there, that there was such an availability of fried ravioli and tater tots.
Ooh.
Which made me laugh because where I grew up, tater tots are strictly served at the junior high.
Yeah,
and that's it. So the idea that you could get tater tots at any restaurant.
How exciting.
It was really delightful to me. Oh, sorry.
Oh boy.
Wow, that was a real.
Yeah.
One time we I'm pretty sure if my memory served correctly, we may have almost killed Eddie Pepitone.
Going over one of those?
Yeah. I'm just putting it out there. It's a dangerous podcast that you're on right now.
I've seen him since, so we did not kill him.
Oh, no. I do know that he's still alive. Mm. I'm just saying there was a close call with a T-bone situation.
I mean, I feel like we have to pay for the electricity in the car, and that's, it's part of that is just the risk of that we could die at any moment.
It's sure. The currency, it's the price.
Well, I can tell you that you do have low washer fluid.
I know.
So hey, you may want to address that.
If you don't like living on the edge.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out, Holmes.
Whoa. I forgot how you talk.
Speaking of which, I driving to Christmas morning mass with my mom.
Yes.
We have my dad's car. And which doesn't get driven a lot anymore.
Right.
And oh boy,
there's
a thing to dodge.
Something in the road.
Just a box of glass, nothing to see here.
Oh, this guy did it.
You did it, didn't you? Roadhog.
And it's like a half mile to the church, and as we were pulling in, the car just stopped. Like the electrical went out, and then the car just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a car that I had been using, and like I'd been on the highway with it. I had, you know, it's... I guess just because of it underuse, the battery is weak or something, so it just fully stopped. And it freaked me out because we were on the road. I mean, it was Christmas morning, so no one was around, really.
Good.
We got in, and I was freaked, and I was just like, I'm going to drop my mom off at the door of church, and then I'll go to the, like, you know, where there's a parking space. And
wait in the car, or do you go to church?
I was going to go in.
Sure.
But so I go to drop her off and she's like, don't bother with this. We're so late. And I looked at my watch and I was like, we're 15 minutes early. And then she looked at hers and she goes, well, I've got 13. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. Okay.
This is just early.
One. Yeah. This is just one I'm not going to win. While I was home, I thought we'll go to the movies because there's always, you know, at Christmas time, there's the movie to see with your parents.
Yes.
And last year it was The Post. Perfect.
Right? Yeah.
This year, just judging on the poster for The Favorite, I took my mother to see that, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it is nonstop cunnilingus from one end to the other. Yeah.
Oh, it's not mom friendly?
Oh, not at all.
I mean, that used to always happen. You go to a video store with your mom and you just grab something based on the box, the cover, and you're just watching, sitting next to your mom on a couch. Watching sex scenes.
Yeah.
After sex scenes. Just flesh.
Yeah.
And
I
have so many vivid memories of watching near pornography my mother that it sounds weird for me to talk about it right now.
Yeah. Well, I know I've told the story on this podcast before, but my dad and I none of us have ever discussed sex ever, very Irish Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
But one time he and I were watching The Serpent and the Rainbow, which is a straight up almost, anthropological study. It's an anthropological study of zombies. So it's like this doctor that's in New York or something, and then he goes to...
It's a Bill Pullman vehicle, isn't it?
I believe it is. And then he goes to somewhere in Africa to study this certain group that claims to really have zombies. And then there he meets another scientist who's a woman. And it's very almost dry but zombie-based science. And very interesting. And then all of a sudden, three quarters of the way through this movie, Bill Pullman and this woman that he's been working with are fucking under a waterfall. And it happens almost out of the blue.
Isn't that Lisa Bonet, the woman?
No, that's you're thinking of Angel Heart.
Angel Heart.
Oh, crap.
But similar feel. It was there was a little era of...
How come you knew that right away?
Because that was the era of zombie movies that were like, no,
sexy,
it's about
sexy
science.
Thrillers.
Yeah, that
sexy
was...
Sexy science thrillers.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
But so my dad, when that sex scene started, slammed his newspaper onto the couch and went, good night. Like, I fucking directed the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's
it
great.
Was, and I was like, Dad, I didn't... It has nothing to do with me.
I had nothing to do with the production.
I didn't do it.
That's exactly what my mom would do. I'd be scarred by it. It's like, this is my fault. I really, mm-hmm. she convinced me it was my fault that nudity was on TV.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was, it would happen just with a music video. I remember U2, Mysterious Ways, that video. My mom came in and she's like, oh, you're watching pornography again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It's a music video. I mean, yes, my pants
after
are not.
I got thrown out of college after my freshman year.
Oh.
And
Dave,
for what?
Yeah.
Can we know?
Me too.
Yeah. No, I know.
Bad grades?
Bad grades. Well, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Abysmal
me too.
Grades.
Yeah, me too.
Due largely to never going to any class.
Exactly.
At
right.
any
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really on a fucking tear. And when it happened, like, I of course got yelled at because that you shouldn't get thrown out of college.
Right.
But in a very Catholic way, my parents also yelled at me for everything wrong that I had ever done that they just never mentioned. You know what I mean? Like the little tiny micro things that they put away,
mm-hmm.
like suddenly everything came up. And like literally 3 years before, I had rented from Blockbuster the best of Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live. And that came up. I'm like, Eddie Murphy, filth! Okay. Well, A, this was on TV, so it wasn't that. I mean, we're talking about him playing Gumby.
How did you
so
how
that bad.
Do that?
Yeah.
The reputation of Gumby.
Yeah.
He didn't do any material from Raw.
No.
My friend Christine Gooden, God bless her soul, because I wanted to be...
Is she alive?
She's alive.
Okay, good.
I guess that was too dramatic.
Yeah.
Which I wanted to be a comic like when I was like 12. So I would watch all that stuff and we were obsessed with Eddie Murphy and he is the funniest. And
he was kind of all that was around. If you stand up was Eddie Murphy or Bill Cosby himself.
It's true.
But I didn't know of anything else.
It's very true.
Yeah.
So she got us tickets to go see Eddie Murphy Raw, the concert. The live show in Oakland.
Oh, my God.
And my dad, I was like, me and Christine are going to go to a show. And my family's like, great, and whatever. And when my dad found out it was Eddie Murphy Raw, he's like, you're not going to that show. I'm like, mm-hmm. but it's comedy, Dad. It's what I want. He's like, there's no way you're going. He lost his mind.
Of course.
And I could have gone and seen... I didn't get to go. I was
the recording of what became that special, or he was touring with it?
It was the tour.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Okay, so the level of filth, I mean, it's a lot of swearing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, it's not real, like, it's not sexy.
No.
He was never sexy. He just said, fuck a lot.
He did, there was some stuff he did about something, like, women using an electric toothbrush as a vibrator, I think. That's, like, my distant memory. There was
a woman falling down the stairs. And
I remember a very anti-Italian moment.
Sure. Also remember, like, the thing that I barely noticed at the time, which is, like, and it's it goes for everything that I revisit from the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, is just like gay jokes that aren't about gay people, but it's just the joke is like, isn't it funny that they're there?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, just that was...
Oh, especially back then.
Yeah.
And you forget about them,
like, yeah, until you watch it again. It's like, good Lord, Blazing Saddles. This isn't the movie I remember as a child.
Yes, that's right.
This is just blatant.
Well, and it's that Eddie Murphy did that thing where he would go from voice to voice. Mm-hmm. But the gay voice, after a while, like, especially when you look back now, you're just like, man, you rang that bell as many possible times as you could. Like, and everybody was like, this is genius. And it's like, oh, but if you actually take that away, where you're just not acting the way you're not supposed to act, quote unquote, there's not a lot of comedy there.
Right.
It's just everybody being titillated that you're doing the thing that is forbidden in culture or whatever.
Right. Yes. I bet he'd be the first to regret it. Isn't he like, I'm only want to do Christian Disney?
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, he's like just wants to do kids' movies now. He doesn't want to do anything dirty.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Doesn't have to do anything at all.
Oh my God!
I'm
sorry, I thought I had my own lane.
Yeah, yeah, she was, maybe she was in the right, but there's a lot to cover here.
There was a lot going on.
She had a
surgical mask.
Yes, surgical mask.
Nose and mouth.
And a hood up.
And a hood up. And a handicap tag.
And the driver was somehow resurrected Stan Lee.
It was Stan Lee and his sickly wife.
And she showed you two karate hands as if they were six shooters.
I was definitely in the wrong. I was in the wrong, but I thought I was going to do something. I didn't realize they crossed across.
You were in the wrong, but she handled it poorly. But, you know, she has a lot to deal with.
I don't think she understands what we're doing here.
On the planet?
No, in this car. I don't think she understands the importance of what we're trying to accomplish.
She's on the way to a daily infusion or something. She looked, seemed like a sick lady, though.
She seemed like a lady that buys orphans' blood.
Yeah.
And so she was going to try to go get some blood.
Yeah. So the blood that makes her feel better?
Karen, I...
That makes those hands real karate-ish.
Real rigid.
Yeah.
I love that you have your navigation set to least helpful.
Yes.
It's all the way zoomed out, so that we know generally what you're doing.
You guys want to go to Tijuana?
Go to Tijuana.
We are so far zoomed out that Tijuana is an option, and we are halfway into Santa Barbara right now.
I genuinely hate this. I always try to make it switch to a different... You know, I want it just to be the media instead of this, because this doesn't help me.
Media?
Whatever fake song
news
is playing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Fox News. I wish I could watch Fox News in my own car. But, you know, like whatever song is on the radio. But I can't get it to stay there. It always comes back to this map that is basically gives me the lower quarter of California.
Right.
And where I am in it.
Yeah.
So I guess I just should be grateful.
Every time
I mean, you know, in grand ways where you're going.
Right.
Exactly.
That's not the way you say that.
The grand ways.
You mean via windows?
Oh my God. Look in front of us.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Look at the coexist.
And stay
coexist,
humble.
Oh, wow.
But it's all in guns.
Were those guns?
Those were all different kinds of guns.
Oh, no.
Wait, Steven, try to get this one, too.
Let's get in this. Let's make this turn.
We might as well.
Yeah.
Stay humble, he urges us.
Stay humble. Also,
oh.
And coexist.
And the O is a rifle sight.
TP.
He's an Uber driver?
Talking Points USA.
Oh, no.
Imagine.
And he's
and a skull that's an American flag.
It's somehow a bone skull that's been tattooed American.
This, you could stay humbler.
Oh, okay.
Please let this just be a little girl driving that car.
I hope
just
so.
The tiniest, most petite.
It's just going to be pink. The artist pink.
You know pink in her guns.
I've seen her around Venice. She dates like a tattooed like... Hart and Huntington motocross type guy. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
I think he's Corey Hart.
Yes.
Okay,
but
thanks.
The other Corey Hart.
There's glimmers of me having
Uber has arrived at its destination.
And we are looking at your face.
Absolutely. I'm going to give him the hands.
We're going to find karate hands?
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh,
masks on, karate hands up.
just found yourself four karate surgeons and you're not happy. Oh, you're in our lane and we're on the way to get some orphan's blood.
Do you guys ever have that when you're driving in LA? And I think it's, I don't know if it's my deteriorating brain or if it's a thing LA eventually teaches you.
They're going to come up with a cure in the next 10 years.
That's what my sister, she keeps sending me articles.
Yeah, me too. That's what I keep telling my sister.
But I do the thing where I go to do the thing I want to do and then I see it's not what I'm supposed to do and then I just do it anyway.
Like
you
what?
Know, like what I just did with cutting those people off where yeah. I was like, I'm going to take a right, even though they're taking a left, I'm in this lane. I like made up how that was going to go, not uh-huh. realizing they crossed over the lanes. Uh-huh. I thought I was just going to kind of go along with them.
Yeah.
But then like, you just keep doing it.
Yeah, like what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
If I just keep driving this car.
It's just weird.
I feel like sometimes in my head, I'm consciously saying, I know exactly the wrong thing to do right now. I wonder how that would feel. Uh-huh. And I do it.
Yeah.
Like with stand-up. I'm like, this is going pretty well. Everyone's laughing. Let me see if I can fuck it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, I did. Now I feel bad.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be reminded.
I like to do that if I get a... Or when I used to, because I don't really do stand-up anymore, but when
You'll
I used to...
You'll start again when I make you go on tour.
Okay. But when I used to, and I would get a really big laugh, I would do that thing where, you know, comics very often, in a kind of a fakey way, do a long pause to start their next topic. Mm-hmm. I would just let the pause go way too long and everyone would get uncomfortable and I would basically deflate all the goodwill that yeah. that last laugh had given me and then just kind of like make everybody bummed out and then start my next topic.
It's called cleansing the palate, baby.
If you can do it, I say do it.
It's called breaking any possible rhythm that you could have.
Yeah.
For a build.
Well, you don't want the next rhythm to be dictated by the previous rhythm.
You don't want the rhythm to get ya. It's gonna get ya.
Tonight it might.
Dave, did you ever do stand-up?
I was gonna ask that.
Sort of. No, not really. Not really.
No. But storytelling.
Storytelling yeah. in that kind of lazy way that you can do it in LA, where
yes.
you can like get up at a drunk on stage and like just fuck around for 10 minutes
yes.
because they know you and you know, and it's never going to be like groundbreaking, but it'll be fun and whatever. I've done that. And then, okay. I
bet you could do it easy. You
yeah,
know.
You could for
you
sure.
Have,
I think what the world needs is a 48-year-old starting stand-up. I think that's what people are clamoring yeah. for.
I just heard that in Burt Bacharach's voice.
But yeah, this goes back a few years, but I had done, I guess it was Drunk on Stage, and then from that did Aaron Foley's show at the Improv.
Yeah.
Because by then I was like, I had told a story at Drunk on Stage that did well, and I was like, well, I'm a stand-up comic now.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I, that's what
yeah.
I do. I'm going to get to work on my hour.
And so record then, that album.
Yeah, and so then I went to the Improv and did that, and then there was a woman on the bill who was like, oh, I do a show up at Ventura, you should come and do it. I was like, great. So...
Because it's just an hour away.
It's just an hour away, but I was
forget.
Also like, well, this is, I mean, these are, I'm paying my dues.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I went up and she was like, oh, it's good you're here. You're our headliner, so you'll have, you know, 40 minutes or whatever. And I was like, I have two stories that yeah. I can get you in and out in 10 minutes. But then I thought, you know what? No, this is a challenge. So I did it and I didn't do like 40 minutes. And for sure somebody came up after me. But I attempted crowd work that went poorly because mm-hmm. it was that like dock worker comedy bar in Ventura.
Oh, right. Horn blowers or
whatever it is.
Whistle
literally
jacks.
Like on a dock and smells like fish. And
I think it's Ventura Harbor Comedy Club.
I think you're right.
Oh.
Literate fishermen wander in yelling in Russian like,
yeah.
I can only imagine what the fuck is going on this stage.
Yeah.
I'm a fisherman and I need whiskey or vodka.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then they get kicked out. That was my experience.
Yeah.
Opening
the wow. I don't think anyone got kicked out.
Oh, there was a
they
huge...
They kept all the angry people in for
them,
you?
They kept them nice and packed in right up front.
Yeah, they turned up the heat a little.
Yeah.
There was the worst... I've talked about this, but right before midnight, opening for Jimmy Pardo, there was a giant fight.
Yes.
And oh, really?
Blood. This guy's head got cut open.
When?
The Christmas tree fell on a family. It was horrifying. dying. So much blood. These MMA guys tried to kick out this guy, and then he started swinging like a methy madman, and they kneed him. Their method of fighting, because they were jujitsu guys, were to knee him in the face. And it was the bloodiest. People were so traumatized. I've seen fights before. This, I was scarred for a while, just because it was... There was a Christmas tree, and people were trying to ring in the new year, and they had their little noisemakers, and it was horrifying. It was the most violent thing ever, but there was...
And this was during your set.
I think this was a salty old off-duty fisherman that just happened to buy some smokable rock, and right, he and his wife, he was with his wife, but they lost their minds.
Wow.
And she was hitting people. It was... ask Jimmy about it sometime. It was the most horrifying thing ever.
Wow.
I feel like if I was on that show, that the second that fight started, I'd be like, yay, I don't have to do my set.
Right. Yeah.
the second it started.
I had already done mine. That's where I was like, what a ripoff, I yelled.
I tell you something. I, up at Just for Laughs this year, Las Culturistas guys?
Yeah. Bowen and Matt.
They were doing a live, like, I don't think so, honey, thing, but with just a small group of just gay men and only about divas.
Uh-huh.
So it would be like, I don't think so, honey, whatever, you prepared one of those, someone you don't like, and then I do think so, honey, somebody that you do like, and then you get like, you do the gauntlet of gag or something like that, and they pull a name for you, and you have to bash that person for a full minute. And they asked, and I said yes, and then I was immediately like, I do not have any strong feelings about any divas at all, and I don't know whether that is a natural part of me that I smothered with a pillow when I was 12 years old,
yeah.
or whether I just don't, like, that's just not a part of my personality, and it's a thing that I'm literally talking about in therapy, which is probably a waste of money, but I should
be talking about it on this podcast.
Exactly, and... but I was like, well, no, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to not say no to things. I'm going to do it. And the day came, and I was up there with Matt McConkey, and we went out and had dinner. The show was supposed to be at like 7:30. And we got out of dinner at 7 o'clock, and the most ominous rain cloud started moving in, and I was like, motherfucker, come. Because the show was outside. The show was at an outside amphitheater, like, which also, my limited performance experience in this world, it shows me that comedy outside does not work.
No, it does not.
The laughs just go up into the air and you can't hear them, and you can't get momentum. And
it's never worked. It's never worked.
It's terrible.
Yeah. So I was like, please let this be a rain out, because then I will have said yes, but then also not. I didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
And so like at 7:20, it just began this apocalyptic downpour, like Adirondack chairs flying in the wind, the worst storm I have ever seen in my entire life. And everyone was in this like tent thing where I guess the green room was. And I went in, and they had to do the thing with the broom handle where they like push the water off of the like top of the tent, so it doesn't cave in.
Yes.
And I was like, whew, well, it's a shame about this show. We're not going to be able to do it and whatever. And then 2 seconds later, it moves, and like, it's a beautiful Montreal evening. Oh. And everyone who had run away came back. And then everybody, because it's outside, like every, you know, in person in an invalid home who is out for their evening push around by their nurse
just
or whatever.
Just sun off their
torso. Like, oh, look, something is about to happen here. Let's go and watch it.
Oh.
And it ended up being fun, but it was the most intense feeling of like a snow day of a very big test.
Yes.
That I had ever had, and then I ended up having to do it anyway.
I think
I had to bash Queen Latifah. It was like, I really don't have any strong feelings about Queen Latifah, one way or the other. Sorry.
That's the diva you chose?
No, it's not the one I chose. I don't even remember who I did chose. It was so last minute, but that was what was drawn for me in like the bash bucket or whatever the fuck it was.
That'd be a tough one. I feel like Queen Latifah is a pretty solid diva.
She is.
From day one.
She is. She's very professional.
Give it to him, Queen. You got it.
Give it to him, Queen.
That was one of the most exciting MTV moments, is me being the whitest of whites from Northern California watching MTV and that UNITY Queen Latifah video coming on, and me just being like, what's this hat? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
She is so cool. She doesn't give a fuck, and she looks like she's going to kick everybody's ass.
Uh-huh.
It was like the best.
How about Achoo? I'm allergic to whack crews. I mean, I don't think that there has ever been a better line in the history of hip-hop.
That is, I guess I've always heard that, but it didn't register that that's what she's saying.
Every time.
That's the best.
Yeah.
So good.
But then, and then just recently, Sketchfest was like, they were going to do an hour divided up among three people, so like 20 minutes each. And it, like, stand-up-y kind of things. And they asked, and I was like, I don't have 20 minutes. Mm. And I hate saying no to things. So I think in 2019, as much as I'm already halfway talking myself out of it, I do want to start getting up and just doing shit so that if somebody offers me 20 minutes somewhere, I don't have to be like, I don't have them.
Yes.
You know? I don't that feeling of saying no.
Especially if you already have stories that you tell. That's what I've been doing just recently. Like, rather than sitting down and in my head being like, I have to write jokes. I'm like, oh, there's stories I've told. I mean, I've told all of them on this podcast.
Yeah.
But on stage, you can just plan on telling those stories.
Yeah. You can always fall back.
Yeah.
I find, though, I guess my thing is, first of all, I love saying no. I love saying yes and then coming back 17 minutes before something starts and saying no, which I'm sure plenty of people really don't appreciate me.
It's a missing scene from Liar Liar, where he comes back and says, I changed my mind.
I'm not a liar, I just changed my mind. But, the thing of it is, or like when people ask me to stand up, it's just like, I just don't have it together. Like, there's such a difference between it's such an overt difference to me of when you do sets every night and when you don't. And I hate being the person that does comedy but doesn't work. Like, doesn't do sets every night.
Right.
It just seems lame.
But you don't want to do sets every night.
But I don't want to do sets at all.
And I'm the opposite. I'm always doing sets even though I don't want to, and it's like, why am I doing this? And it's just so I can be prepared when something puts me in that position. But I've wasted so much time driving from Venice Beach 3-4 nights a week. I'm not wasted time, but whatever. It's the opposite. I'm like, man, there's so many other things I could be doing other than free stand-up and paying for parking. And
But I
enjoy it, though. I like it.
But we should plug right now, since it's so topical, we should plug the fact that you're recording your album in Portland next week.
Or this week,
depending on when this
stand-up special. Yeah. Seven cameras.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
At Mississippi Studios. Are you sold out yet?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So don't go.
Enjoy it if you're already buying tickets.
But the previews of people, because you did it at Dynasty Typewriter, and the word on the street is that it was the best.
Well, that's
you're
great.
You're really funny.
Yeah, you're good at comedy, Chris.
You're good.
Thanks. Well, that's why I've been doing it for no reason every other night for the last 20, oh my God, years.
Oh my God.
Are you planning on moving east at all?
No.
Staying in the neighborhood.
That's so funny. I just turned that into New York City.
No, that's not what I mean.
I have to.
Not it's right at the very tip of the city that we live in.
I still don't know. I would love to figure it out soon. I still, it's hard to, because I do need to move, but it's hard to figure it out months in advance, and I still have a month or so, or a month and a half.
Okay.
I have about a month and a half. But inevitably I probably will move east.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Just to be closer to everything.
Yeah. That drive is no fun.
No. I got to figure it out.
In either direction at any time.
I mean, I like being by the beach, but it's, you know what? Growing up in Montana, I took it for granted, and then I finally live at the ocean. It looks the same every day. It's great.
Uh-huh.
But I just went home and mountains are all different.
Yeah.
Yeah, to sound like a scientist.
Mountains are different than the ocean?
Mountains look different no matter how you look at them. Different mountains are different, yeah.
Every the day ocean, it's different.
No matter where you're at, it looks like the same ocean to me.
And honestly, this could be, look around, this could be your life.
Yeah.
This ocean of cement could be your new life.
Yeah.
This gold's gem could be yours.
I would love to surf the seas of industrial cement.
Uh-huh.
The shower door doctor's around here somewhere.
There he is.
You could have that right by your house.
There could be some kind of compromise. I was thinking about moving into a warehouse district and you know, getting a big studio and getting into welding sculptures.
Oh, fun.
like in an 80s movie.
Flashdance?
yeah, you know, dancing and sculpting.
Yeah.
You know me.
Were your ideas of what apartments would look like hopelessly tainted by movies and TV?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that you'd be a struggling artist, and in movies, they always had struggling artists in a $4,000 a month apartment.
Yeah.
Like studio.
And the elevator goes right to it.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed when I saw what $700 would actually get me in 1994.
Yeah.
Which was barely livable. Have you seen Can You Ever Forgive Me yet?
No. What's that?
It's the Melissa McCarthy movie. I wanted to see it. Is it still in theaters?
No, but it's you get a screener for it.
It sounds like
it might still be in theaters.
Sounds like it's not a comedy.
It isn't.
Yeah.
It's funny, but yeah, it's comedy-ish.
But it's a true story, comedy, right?
It is, yeah. About this woman who, it's like she's an author and she can't sell her next book, and so she starts forging letters from literary fancy people.
Love it.
And it's so good. It's like an 80s New York movie. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Like it's just
sorry,
it's glamorous
that happened.
And that was a huge pothole.
That was an insane pothole.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for that movie and I love the way she looked. And I love the whole thing about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I want to know what this story is.
Right.
And what's happening here.
Yeah.
The aesthetic. I want to see, what's it called again?
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I will not forget myself if I don't see it.
Do it.
I will. I like her a lot.
My film recommendation is, when I was home with my family, we all went and watched Mary Poppins.
Ah, is that any?
It is good.
Clearly, if it's your recommendation, then
it's good. And it's I thought I knew how good it was going to be because I'd heard people saying, it's good, go see it.
Uh-huh.
But it was better than that.
Okay.
And truly, like, touching and enjoyable and human and real.
Okay.
In a lot of ways that was surprising. And I don't know if I'm a fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda per se. I think he's insanely talented and does write the best songs. Like, Moana is the best.
I like him in Billy on the Street.
Yeah.
That episode.
I didn't. Is it in 3D?
No, I mean, not the one I saw.
Okay.
Is that
I don't know why I asked, because that's not, I don't care.
Yeah, no.
But I'm just wondering whether it's the kind of thing where I should see it on a big screen or something like that.
I think you should see it on a big screen, even though
that
I know we
going
all,
for it.
Yeah, she's doing what I did.
Yeah.
You've
really started a trend.
Just getting out there and seeing what happens.
I almost showed them my surgery mask.
It's sweeping LA this New Year's Eve. It's New Year's Eve. Can I say that?
It's New Year's Eve, that's right.
Isn't that exciting?
It's pretty crazy.
It's going to be a new year.
Yeah, we should all do, before we drop you off, Dave, we should, and I actually don't know where your street is, but...
Oh, well, you have passed it numerous times.
Okay, perfect. Can I go down here and go try
again?
Yeah,
you can.
let's go around and say, starting with you, Dave, what our resolutions are. One or three. New Year's resolutions. 2019.
I'm going to do 2 more marathons next year.
Wow.
And I'm excited about that. So that's just a thing that I'm doing.
Okay.
Have you picked the dates, or you just whenever there's a marathon?
LA and New York.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's the full-on 26 miles?
That's the full-on 26.
Wow.
Shit.
Yeah. And then the other kind of larger one is to quit fucking apologizing for literally everything.
Yes.
I realized I had a problem when I was at a coffee shop working and somebody ran into my table and I apologized to them. Like, I didn't put the table there. Like, the person who runs into the table and spills my coffee is the person who should apologize, not the person who is simply sitting there at a thing that was placed by someone else.
Were you guys raised to say sorry all the time?
The time. I mean, never explicitly told, maybe, but like it's kind of the subtext of everything.
I feel like it's regional. Or in Montana, all my friends say sorry, and we're close to Canada. I find that Canadians are always saying sorry, or maybe I just notice it because they pronounce it slightly.
Because they say sorry.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm jumping on board your Okay. Resolutions. I'm also doing those marathons.
Good.
Even though a doctor told me never to run again. Never mind. Scratch that.
Fuck him.
Yeah, I'll wear out my metal hip. But I, yeah, that's I like those. I like those.
Chris, do you have a different, another?
No, I think, yeah, I'm going to...
Life's chugging along pretty well.
I think I want to just... It's boring things. I'm going to start waking up earlier.
Right here, if you want.
Here?
I sleep too much. I don't need 9 hours of sleep every night. I'm going down to 8.
Okay. You could, you know, there's that Navy SEAL guy that says you should get up at 4:30 in the morning.
Okay.
That's what successful people do.
Right, right. No, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger, I can hear it. He's yelled about that before.
Although we can go down this one. This is a very pretty street.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Let's do it.
Oh, it is. I really like when trees kind of canopy over a street.
Yeah, that's
like
nice.
I used to see this a lot in Austin.
We will pass Dave Koegner's house where over the garage, his wife will spell out something seasonal.
Oh,
they have little letters. I can't. November, it's grateful.
It'd be funny if it just said Bah Humbug.
Stay away.
I think for December, I'm probably wrong on this, but I think it just said season. But I'm sure it was more clever than that, but that was
See,
what
it
I
said
remembered.
Seasonings.
I like that it's middle of the day, but we're driving at a speed where we should be looking at Christmas lights.
There it is. It says Santa Baby.
Oh, wow.
Santa Baby. That's cute.
That is nice.
Maybe I'll lease the house across the street from them.
She wants to start a dinner club where it's 11 couples, no, 12 couples, and each month it's at a different person's house, and there's a cuisine and a game and a costume.
Oh, my.
I can't believe swinging wasn't part of that list.
Did you say left?
I did say left.
I thought that it was a swinger group. I don't know why I immediately...
I mean, who knows?
You don't know.
Because nothing ever happened, but all, like, 22 of us got the email about it, and I know a couple of them, and I was like, are you in any way prepared to have 22 guests and cook for them all and entertain them? Because I am sure not. And so we kind of, Ben and I were like, I mean, I guess let's just see where this goes. So where it went is nowhere. It kind of like the idea got dropped. But for a minute, it was like, we're going to have to, I mean, you know, if we take ourselves out to dinner, it's a big deal.
Yes.
So we're about to maybe have to figure out some sort of parlor game and like how to feed literally 11 other couples inside our home,
avoid it. This sounds like shaky territory.
Well, honestly, this email went out like a year and a half ago, so I don't think we're in any danger.
Right.
And listen, have you ever had Chipotle cater? Because they do it right.
Okay, yeah. I bet they do.
Just don't even front. Just get up there and be like, here's some tacos from the corner.
Here we are.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. It's a very unique
Are we going
door.
Around again?
So I love
get
talking
your,
to you,
Dave. Karen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're not going to fucking say no to this one.
I'm going to write a new half hour of comedy in a costume while making dinner for 22 people.
That's your resolution?
That's me just naming all the things we just talked about.
Okay.
My resolution is for Karen to start a band.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I would too.
And I also kind of want to pick up the guitar for the first time at age 48.
You want to start?
You never have?
I know a chord, maybe. And I can't remember which one.
Maybe I'll pick back up the old trombone.
Wait, what does Ben play?
Everything. He is one of these kind of musical geniuses.
Would he teach you or?
I don't think that would be good.
Fighting? Because of fighting?
No, not because of fighting. I just don't, I think he would get annoyed with me very quickly.
Yeah.
I would rather pay a stranger to be annoyed with me.
Right. Yeah, that's so funny.
Can I tell you that I got verbal teaching from Eben Schletter, who is great musician.
It's
and
top notch.
Did the music for Mr. Show and a ton of other things. He basically said, if you can get the CG open chord change, if you can get your hand to learn how to do that, you can do anything.
Really?
And so essentially, if you look up how to make a G or have Ben, maybe he'll just tell you this one piece of information, how to make a G, how to make a C, and then you can look up, you'll be able to play any Eagles song.
Okay.
Like, basically, find a song. I started with Mazzy Star, Gimme Your Lovin'. And that's how I taught myself how to play the guitar.
Oh, that's great.
Just almost like chord by chord.
Okay.
Really?
I'm planning on doing it through YouTube tutorials.
Do it.
That's how I fixed my dryer.
Really?
Yeah, you can look up anything and learn it. Yeah.
You can. Maybe Steven? I'll start posting YouTube tutorials about open chords.
Yeah, or just videos that you do on your phone and send only to me.
That's right.
I'm going to do some tutorials about how to look up things on YouTube.
Oh, good idea.
That's my resolution. I don't have a resolution.
Have resolutions?
I think just take better care of myself.
No, cook, that's a good
cook
one.
More. Even good. If it's just one day a week or a couple mm-hmm. days, yeah. Start slow, no pressure, but just at least make the effort.
Yeah.
I hear that message, Stephen. I hear what you're actually saying to me.
This is me again. You almost passed it.
I comprehend. I understand the words.
Happy New Year.
Dave, this was so awesome.
So much fun.
Let's plug a couple of your podcasts and projects.
Sure.
We already did the, what is it? The Queen Latifah podcast. No, the Real World first season podcast.
Yeah, TRUUSTOWRAY.
True story.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice.
International Waters, although we're changing the name shortly.
Really?
It's too hard.
What happened?
It's too hard to get. Like
international
UK
people.
And US people.
Oh, wow. You know? Okay.
Sorry, I couldn't do it before Christmas.
Okay. No, it's okay. And like, that's what happens all the time. So we're going to start doing it on like Monday evenings.
So it'll just be New York versus LA
LA.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Capricorns versus Scorpios. Whatever.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, decide. It opens it up big time. Do you know what you're going to call it?
Not yet.
National Waters.
Maybe regional waters. I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet. And then Homophilia on Earwolf.
Yes.
Hear awesome LGBT people talking shit.
About their stuff.
Talking about Queen Latifah.
I haven't heard of that. Is that a new podcast?
No, we've been around about a year and a half.
Sweet.
Me and Matt McConkey.
And it's going good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see lots of stuff about it.
Oh, good. That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to it.
What are you guys doing for New Year's Eve?
Oh, man, there's so much pressure. I just might stay home.
My friend is having what seems to be a very adult dinner party that I'm thrilled to be going to because not drinking, I just never want to. I don't want to go out to a party or like stand around in a kitchen sipping Diet Coke. But so my friend invited me to her. She used to, it was like a legendary New Year's dinner party that she used to do 10 years ago and she just started it up again.
Oh, that's great.
So I got invited. So.
Excellent.
We'll see. We'll see how my manners do.
It's going to sound funny, but because I'm taping that thing, I don't want to. That's why I've been not drinking the last few days. It's the holidays. It's a hard time, but I don't want to tape a thing and have a big swollen face.
Yeah. Right.
So tonight I want to just hang out and have
water. Shrink that face down.
Smart.
And I'll watch Patriot or something.
Ice that face.
Yes, ice your face.
I should.
Just like Mommy Dearest in the beginning when she sticks her face in the bowl of, in a sink of ice.
Mine's, it's a scene from Silence of the Lambs, except it's a big piece of cucumber.
Oh.
Oh.
It's my shaped mind goes like to Huey Lewis in a drug. That first moment where he gets up in his little boxer shorts and he sticks his head in the sink.
Oh, and then he lip syncs in the water.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, blows some bubbles.
Yeah.
Good old Huey.
God damn it.
Well, you guys, thank you for having me.
Dave,
of course, thank you.
Thank you for being here.
I'm going to de-mic.
Do it.
Steven, it's been a pleasure.
Do it while
nice
we...
Nice to meet you.
So great. Happy New Year.
While we sign off, we're going to honk,
you
know.
Okay, great.
It's great that he knew.
Have you met my dog? Come in and meet me.
Oh, yes, I love your dog.
Yeah?
Should we look at your dog?
Yeah, if you'd like.
Come on. Okay.
Let's go look at our dog.
Okay,
so we'll sign off.
Let's
right
sign
now.
Off.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN.
AR.
Honk, honk.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? Do you need a ride? Do you need a ride? Do you
with Karen and Chris.